1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 3rd of December, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, important things, and of course, Uncle Dave's Story Hour. But that's later, right?
Wait
now.
A minute. You know what? He still didn't tell us where he took off.
Last week,
I think he had a...
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, you.
Where I took off to?
Yeah.
You weren't here last week.
Well.
You didn't get a note from your mother saying that you could be excused.
Yeah, I can't really talk about it on the radio.
Sure, otherwise you'd have to kill each and every member of the audience. Is that what you're saying? Or you would embarrass four other people?
No,
His mother punished him and he had to stay in that week.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think this signal gets to Tijuana. You're safe.
Yeah, there you go. No, I was here on Friday after Thanksgiving doing the 5 o'clock news hour, so I conned management here at Wham into giving me a Sunday morning off.
Oh, the little boy needed his rest.
Wimp.
Stop.
I don't remember what sleep is like. I haven't seen the inside of my eyelids except in blinks.
Oh, yeah. When you're sending me emails at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning,
yes.
I'm just like, what is wrong with this
and
man?
And you're answering them.
Yeah.
That's besides the point.
Oh, you were reading them. So what's wrong with this picture? Nothing.
Oh, you know.
But you're young.
I'm younger than you. I don't need as much sleep as you do.
Yeah, no, you
need
more.
When you get to be your age, you know what I mean?
We don't sleep anymore.
That's right.
We've done all our sleeping.
Yeah. Got the rest of my life hereafter to sleep.
Exactly. As you all know, Vista was released this week. It went to major corporations. and a lot of people are
using it as bookends.
Right. A lot of people are surprised that most security vendors did not choose to roll out their new Vista antivirus products. While McAfee is actively touting its status as the only major antivirus provider to get a Vista product out the door that coincided with the introduction of the OS, experts said the milestone means relatively little. A lot of other top-tier antivirus application providers will soon have similar products available, with most already distributing beta versions of the software. The reality is that most enterprises are not actively or aggressively installing Vista on users' desktops until sometime early next year. And the main reason for that is there's a whole lot of stuff that still has to be tested. We've got
basically
people,
nothing works.
Yeah.
Basically nothing works. And we've discovered that we've got a half a dozen products that we use in the College of Business at RIT. The E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology. And
I'm sorry, excuse me, was that a shameless plug?
It was. Would you like to hear it again?
Yes.
The E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology. Yay! We've got a bunch of products that just simply do not work. They don't work with IE7. They don't work with Vista. They don't work with the new Office.
Well, IE7 broke a lot of the third-party plugins already.
Oh, my heavens, did it. So a lot of stuff isn't out yet, and who cares? Because you really won't be seeing Vista for the average person for another month or more, and we'll also see what a lot of companies are just using it internally.
Well, and one of the great ironies is that some of Microsoft's own software doesn't work with Microsoft's operating system.
Yeah, right.
We didn't talk much about the Zune rollout last week, and that was pretty much the general consensus. It's
Well, I didn't even bother with it because it's a non-story.
And the Zune player doesn't work with Vista.
Yes, that's true. I don't like the Zune for many of the same reasons. I'm not that fond of the iPod. Too much digital restriction management. Way too much of it.
There's an interesting story on that too. It's all that's imposed by the record companies.
I don't care who it's imposed by.
Right. Yeah,
the fact is,
annoying.
It's there and it's annoying me.
In England this week, the Rolling Stones are going to court. Copyright law in England is currently 50 years from date of release. So a lot of the early Stones albums, the early Beatles albums are falling out of copyright in the next couple of years, which means anyone can do anything they want with them for free.
Right.
And so the Stones and the Beatles are going to court to try to get that extended. In the U.S., it's 95 years after the death of the copyright holder. right. not from the date that the item was actually created. So right. that, you know, it's basically 200 years from when somebody creates something right. that it falls out of copyright.
Okay, here's my favorite thing. Bare Naked Ladies, their new double album is being released on a thumb drive.
A couple of bands have done that in the
Absolutely
last few years.
Absolutely no DRM. Just use it. Do what you want with it. It's all MP3s. We did a funny interview with them the other day. They said, we made one small mistake. No cover art. No liner notes.
No. Yeah, so put it in a PDF.
Well,
yeah.
You can download it from their website now. So I find that fascinating myself. I think that's a great thing because, you know, I want to be able to... I run a Linux operating system. I want to be able to put the music on my iPod, or I want to be able to put it on my little player, or I want to do whatever I want to do with it. I'm not trying to steal it. I'm not going to give it to anybody else. I just want the freedom to play it where I want to play my music.
Well, that's why I've got that 1 gig jump drive.
Yeah.
And I love it, you know, for...
But you can't buy a song from iTunes and download it on there.
No, I just... All my songs that I've pulled in, albums and LPs that I own, you know, still have in CDs, I've put on my machine, and I just move them over to it. And I can pick the songs I want, shuffle them around mm-hmm. any way I want.
Which is the same way the iPod and the Zune works with regular CDs. It's just if you buy music online, it only works on that player with its supported OSs.
Right. But I still don't like it.
Unless you go through the workaround of burning it to a CD and then ripping it back in.
Right, right. Well, yeah, but that's just a lot of work. All right, our first caller is Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Is there a free site out there that you can use to see who lives on your street?
There are many telephone directories. AT&T has anywho.com. FrontierNet has their own, rochester.frontiernet. Pages. rochester.frontierpages.net. Whitepages.com. There's a whole bunch of them. And you do reverse lookups and put in street address.
I tried it on Anywho, and I couldn't get anything.
Should work. I often use White Pages for reverse phone number and reverse address lookups. It's the same restrictions of phone books. If they're not listed in the phone book, they're probably not listed on the internet.
Yeah.
And then there's all those ads for paying. You know, for $100, they'll do a record search for you, and who knows how legitimate those are.
Right. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. I've got another site that I want to talk about. I'll talk about it in a minute, but we got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lins, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now till 1 a.m. on Wham.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 18 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. It's 19 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wait a minute, it'll be 20 minutes after the hour.
Exactly, but in the meantime, we'll say Steve found how to answer Victor's question.
Yeah, whitepages.com has a reverse address, reverse phone number searches where you just type in a street address and it gives you everyone living on that street.
There you go.
Probably, again, related to phone book published, so unlisted people may not be listed.
Right,
That gives you a start.
Right. But first, before we get back to the phones, I want to talk about a gaping security hole in Adobe products. They are working on a fix they say will be released in the near future. Recent versions of both their Reader and their Acrobat programs contain unpatched bugs that could allow attackers to take over Windows systems via Internet Explorer. Now, there's a surprise. Bugs were discovered by security company FrCert and reported to Adobe a week ago. Both FrCert and Adobe classified the bugs as critical, since they could be exploited by simply luring an Internet Explorer user to a malicious website. They could cause the application to crash, could potentially allow an attacker to take over the affected system. So if you're using Adobe Reader version 7, if you're using Adobe Acrobat, both standard and professional version 7, and this is, of course, on Windows, Acrobat 8 is unaffected. So I would be very careful if I were you about using Adobe over the next, say, couple of weeks until that patch is available. Our next caller is Mike from Henrietta. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Morning, guys. Something that's more a nuisance than anything that I think is affecting my system, but when I reboot, I get the desktop notepad popping up twice with a prompt and then a Windows system error prompt. Do you want me to tell you what's in either one of these, which is more the...
What OS are you using?
Excuse me?
What operating system?
XP. In the notepad, it says localized resource name, system root 32, shell 1132 DLL. And the error prompt is, it says winhelp 32 exe in the binary system is corrupt, reinstall to fix the problem.
Have you danced the tango?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that is a you win. You got very lucky, Mike. That is a common and well-known virus that tries to take over the Windows help system.
Okay.
Luckily for you, it did not do so correctly, but you need to dance the security tango.
It's not just that the viruses are bad. They're usually badly written.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing.
Well, the script kiddies.
Right. So what you need to do is go to securitytango.com, click on the Let's Dance button, print that page out, and follow it step by step. Now, let me preempt everybody by saying, yes, Stinger does not always update, but Stinger only brings out a new version when there's a new thing for it to kill. It still is a valuable and viable piece of software that you should be running. So go to securitytango.com, click on Let's Dance, and print it out, follow all the steps. That should clear up that problem. All right, our next caller is Rich from Darien Center. Where's Darien Center, Rich?
It's very near Batavia. It's between Buffalo and Batavia.
That's the town that the Darien Lake State Park is in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm about 8 miles away.
Yep.
And in the summertime, when the wind is right, I can hear the rock band at 8 miles away.
Excellent. Wow. Well, it's good to know.
Free concerts all summer.
I don't like the music.
Well, that's a problem then. What's your question,
You're
Rich?
Right. Hey, listen, I have a Microsoft XP.
Mm-hmm.
And Windows XP.
Yeah.
And I can't boot up. It won't boot up. And I try it twice, and then it finally boots up. And also on my email, I can't open attachments. Even places like Cabela's and LL Bean, they send me information, and,
yep.
and I can't.
You're
open
using
it.
Outlook Express?
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
that's a feature.
That's a setting in Outlook Express. If you go into Tools and options, and then under the security tab, it says don't open attachments.
I think
so
we have that link
that.
Too. But it's a feature in Outlook Express trying to. The irony is that Outlook Express will prevent attachments from coming through to limit virus attacks, but it allows Microsoft documents to come through, which is where the viruses come from.
And, but before that, since you can't even get into your system because Windows won't boot,
what error message do you get?
I don't get error message at all.
How far does it get in the boot? How far does it get?
Well, it all I get is my background, but I don't get the icons. So what I do is I press the three buttons, CRT, ALT, and delete.
Right.
And then it gives me options, and I say I can either tell it to close down or reboot.
Okay.
So I do that, and then error sign comes up. And so, you know, it gives me a list of the things that happened that caused this.
Yep.
And it didn't do anything, so I just...
All right, so it is booting, but the desktop isn't loading.
Yeah, one thing I would recommend, Rich, is
what?
Reboot the machine. When it's starting up, keep hitting the F8 key.
F8?
F8.
Okay. You'll,
all right, what you're going to do is then select safe mode, the number one option up at the top of the list. You go in safe mode. Once you're in safe mode... Because that'll load a bare bones. It doesn't, you know, load a lot of the other stuff. Go to start, and then you go up to accessories, system tools, and under
system what?
System tools.
Okay.
And under system tools is a system restore. You can
check
yesterday's date or a date before, you know, a couple days back. Select one of those dates, have it restore to that point, and then try rebooting.
Do you have a lot of icons on your desktop?
I really don't. I've eliminated quite a few.
Because that sometimes causes the problem. A corrupt icon on the desktop prevents the desktop from loading.
Oh, okay.
Did you
all
do...
The only thing is, there's something called NSIS that used to pop up all the time. So I went into my control panel, I found it...
You have Norton System Works, don't you?
What?
Yep.
Do you have Norton System Works?
Yes, I do.
Uninstall it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it immediately.
Well, you can't even get into the machine yet. He's got to first try to...
Oh, I can get in there.
Eventually it gets in.
I have to shut down the computer.
Several times.
Several times.
Uninstall the Norton System Works. This is a common problem with Norton System Works.
Yeah, it causes more problems than it solves.
And I'm afraid to do it.
To uninstall it?
Yeah, okay.
Uninstall System Works and install something better.
AVG.
Right, the programs that we have on the Security Tango. The Norton suites are causing more problems than they're fixing.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate for Symantec.
Yeah. As computer repair folks, we love the Norton System Works. But you as a user probably shouldn't so much. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. Absolutely get rid of it.
Yeah, SystemWorks itself isn't a bad program, but don't install the whole suite.
It doesn't give you the option. Yeah. You've got to go through with at least 2006. You've got to install the whole kit.
Well, you don't install any of it. You just run the diagnostic utilities from the CD when you want
to
if you suspect a problem. Don't try to install the whole suite, which just bogs down your Windows and takes
over
too much.
But what I'm saying, though, is no, the new 2006 doesn't give you that option.
You can't run from CD anymore?
Well, you can, but what I'm saying, though, is to get your antivirus...
It's an all or nothing. Oh, you install it all or you don't install anything.
Yeah, you get the internet and the whole nine yards, which totally blocks everything.
Definitely, Rich, uninstall it. Just get rid of it. Dump it. It's junk. All right, our next caller is not going to be talked to now because apparently Rob thinks we don't have enough time. Well, Rob, you know what? You're probably right. I suspect we don't. And Glenn, of course, is always right. See, here comes the music.
You know, here's the deal. There's a window right in front of, between us. You know what I'm saying? Between the suite and the the boiler room.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, now what happens is I'll give you signals.
I didn't
see what
any.
I mean? Unless you know how much time you have left.
I didn't see any signal through the steam coming off of the jacuzzi.
And why is our, why is our opening
tub.
Music playing?
All right, boys. The counseling session will be open in my office.
He's playing the opening music, not the closing music.
Oh, yeah, my fault.
Oops. Oh, what was that you just said?
You see, when I'm gone for a week, that's what happens.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. Glenn Lambert is in to do the news, the music, the video, and all that stuff. When we come back, it's Story Hour with Uncle Dave. You're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Looking for a good... That's your cue, Nick.
I was just thrilled that Donald Trump was speaking.
Well, you know what
ear.
I was wondering is, you know, we had to get another studio for his hair.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'll be here all week, Treadaville.
And please, the Bickersons, one of my favorites.
It is. You remember the movie MASH?
And
the scene where the battling Bickersons is mentioned?
Yes.
One of the funniest scenes in all of movie
domain.
It popped into my head for some reason.
Yes,
today.
It is. I'm a big fan of old-time radio, and I love the Bickersons. Yeah. All right, folks. Those of you who are on the line waiting, please stay on the line. We'll get to you very shortly. If you're not on the line, you could be on the line by calling us at 222-1180, 800-295-1180, or Verizon Wireless customers at *1180. But in the meantime, everybody sit down and relax. Get your cup of hot cocoa. Get your footy jammies on and grab your teddy. Gather around the rocking chair.
Grab your teddy, Nick.
Teddy
this
bears,
is a family
teddy
show.
Teddy bears!
Get your mind out of the gutter.
You are the most disgusting person in that room, except for Glenn, of course.
He's just imagining you in a teddy.
That is disgusting. That is disgusting. All right, well, now I'm just not in the mood for story time. Exactly. Thank you for putting that image in my head. All right, it's story time with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
I don't know if I can recover from
that. I know, and it's very hard to get back in the mood now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Steve. Buzz killer.
There goes the pajamas and everything. All right. Well, I think both of you guys will agree with me on this one.
I doubt it. Oh, we haven't
especially
heard it yet.
Steve. No, especially Steve. All right. You know, right now, we're under the big crunch for the holidays, and, you know, your Sunday paper is just loaded. I mean, literally loaded. With different specials on computers.
Yep.
All right. And I get folks that will sit there and off of my website, nrightpc.com, will sit there and request quotes. And we'll do up quotes. And then they come in with their flyers and this quote and say, well, I can get it cheaper here. Why can't you do the same price?
And why is this one only $300? Because it's a piece of crap. Well, but how do you say that politely?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why you bother to be polite.
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, though, folks, and I have no problem with this, I'm not the type of salesman that would sell an icebox to a snowman, or an Eskimo, rather. Oh, I got to... That's another
story. Another tangent.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to hear his Eskimo snowman story. Let's go back to story time.
So
with
anyways,
Dave.
You get folks coming in, and they're trying to compare apples to oranges. Now, yes, there are some deals out there, but you got to sit there and look at what you're getting. Yes, they're cheaper, but I hate to tell you, it's a fact of life. If you get something cheaper, they've got to use cheaper stuff or cut back on things.
You get what you pay for, and you pay for what you get.
Exactly.
Like lower RAM, smaller hard drives.
This one client, a person that came in saying, well, you know, I can get this. This seems to be a real good deal. You know, why can't yours be there? I says, well, if I lower the memory, I don't give you as good a video card. Oh, by the way, so if down the road you're planning on doing, say, Vista alone, it's going to require a gig of memory. You're going out and getting the special. And I've seen two of them right now. One offers Windows XP with 128 meg of memory.
Windows will run really, really, really,
another
really slow.
Another one is, oh, they're upping it to 256.
Which means you can run Windows, but nothing else.
Exactly. I start my machines when I build them with... Right now, because memory is so cheap, normally I start them with 512 and go up to 256.
To a gig.
To a gig, rather. Yeah. I'm sorry. But the other thing, though, is they're putting in these machine specials is CD-ROM drives. I don't do CD-ROM drives anymore. I put DVD burners in them because, oh, with the DVD burner, you can burn either CDs or DVDs.
Yeah, some of the really cheap ones don't even have CD writers. It's a CD reader only.
Exactly. Right. And again, folks, you got to take the time to compare what you're getting. If you don't understand it, yes, I'll sit down and talk to you. But please don't insult me saying, oh, well, this is a much better deal. I think Steve and I will both say we both stand behind the products that we sell, and we only use quality. That way, they're not coming back to me. The last thing I want to do is have a client come back and say, well, this isn't working or that's not working. You want a product that you're – the only time you're going to come in and see us is when you need an upgrade or change something out because you want to improve it.
Listen, I got to tell you, good systems development people, good programmers, good system builders are essentially really, really lazy. They don't want to work on your machine twice. They want to do it right the first time so you never – ever have to come back unless you want something new. These guys are just like any other normal human being. They don't like seeing grumpy, porked off people. So if they do your machine right the first time, the only time you come in to see them is when you're happy and you want something new. That's what they like.
We had a similar story a few years ago where a customer was bidding us against another computer vendor. And you know, it was like $50 difference between the prices. And so he went back to the other vendor and said, can you drop your price? And the guy dropped his price $700 and claimed we were gouging the customer. you could drop your price $700 and you're not gouging?
Yeah, right. All right. All right, kiddies, make way for the men in the white coats. They're coming to help Uncle Dave back to the back room for his medicine. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening to Soundbites at 44 minutes after the hour. Our next caller is Al from Grand Island, New York. How grand is it out there, Al?
It's very grand today.
That's what I like
very
to hear.
Very cold, too.
Yeah, I bet.
I got a problem with my hard drive, and I'd kind of like to get some advice of what to do.
Okay.
I've got a running XP on a Pentium 3. Mm-hmm. And I had a hard drive installed. First of all, I had the old hard drive was getting a little noisy. Mm-hmm. It was around an 8-gig drive. Oh. And I had a 40-gig installed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they had to go through some gyrations to get that installed.
To break the 32 gig barrier, probably.
Yes, yeah. And I was running FAT 32, and now it's NTFS.
Yep.
And I've had some problems right from the start of this install. And first of all, I had system restore was not operating, and I ran system repair,
mm-hmm.
and it fixed that. But there's all kinds of other queer things going on. Right now, when I try to install a new program, I put the disk in the hard drive, drive,
mm-hmm.
and I see the lights flashing for a few seconds, and then the lights go out, and it's dead. Now, I wait for about 4 to 5 minutes, and it starts up flicking and doing its thing. And I guess I kind of like to do a clean install.
How much memory do you have in this machine, Al?
Memory?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a 512 megabyte.
Okay.
Yeah, something's clearly not right with that machine.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if I shouldn't start over and do a clean install.
Back up any of your data.
Twice.
Right.
I just start fresh.
And now, what's listed under the C drive is it says disk 2 and with a bottom slash volume 1. And mm-hmm. that's what it says on, it's not.
That's just a label. That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. No. So if I wanted to partition that 40 into 220s, let's say,
sure.
Would that be any problem?
Shouldn't be if you do a complete fresh install.
But the thing of it is, now it's NTFS. You're going to have to use a product like Partition Magic or that.
I have a Partition Commander. Will that work?
Yeah, but I'd do it after you get the Windows.
Well, but if he's going to do a brand new clean install.
Yeah, you'd have to run that partition program before.
Well, in the Windows XP setup, you can erase all the partitions on the hard drive and make a 20 gig partition.
Yep.
And then once Windows finishes loading, do the other 20
gigs.
Yeah,
that's another way to do it, yeah.
Yeah.
But why are you partitioning it? It just doesn't make sense anymore unless it's a different physical drive. Because if you're just taking this drive and pretending that it's two separate drives.
I do have another hard drive that's I've got it partitioned with 10 gigs.
I wouldn't bother. Partitioning was good in its day, but because of the limitations. Now that there's no real limitation on
the current hard drive limitation is 16 exabytes.
Yeah.
Which is three prefixes beyond gigabyte.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother because only from the standpoint that, you're pretending that it's a different drive and it's really not. And there's no barrier and NTFS runs fine. So if the hard drive goes, it's going to go.
Yeah, if you want a second drive for backup, get a second drive. Backup, not the same physical drive.
Right, because if the drive goes, it goes. All right, our next caller is...
Well, we should back up half a second on him. He's running a Pentium 3. You know, depending on how much he likes to tinker with his computer, he might just look at a new computer.
Yeah.
Right. Our next caller is Brian from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question? Brian?
Oops, sorry, muted.
There you go.
How you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just got a quick question. I got a kid who's going to be getting an iPod for Christmas.
Great.
From another family member, and we've got one XP computer in the house that I don't really want him to put iTunes on.
Right.
We have a couple different Linux computers that I would be fine with. Is there an application I can get that's going to give him what he needs to?
Sure.
Not so much downloading music, but more like ripping his own CDs and that kind of thing.
There are two. One is called Rhythmbox.
Okay.
And the other one is if you rip with something else and you end up with the MP3s on your system, you can use a program called GTK Pod. There's also a program called iPodder, which is actually a podcast downloader. So those things all work under Linux, and depending on what version of Linux you're running, It's real easy to just, for example, my Ubuntu system, I just plug my iPod in and it's recognized immediately, and Rhythmbox starts up and I have to shut it down to run GTK Potter. But other than that, it works perfectly. So yeah, that'll all work. We're going to take another quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 54 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. And we're just building up Rob's blood pressure so that his heart keeps pumping, the blood keeps moving.
You know, to think I could be sitting at home on my Sundays, reading the Sunday paper, drinking my coffee,
bored,
but instead I'm here.
Tears.
Like
no.
You did last
you
week on us.
Bored to tears.
Right. I think I was still
just
actually...
Just because you worked a Friday.
Oh, I think I actually was still sleeping last week at this time.
I worked all week.
Those of us in retail worked Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
Exactly right. All right, security
analysts.
When you
grow up.
Yeah. You may have heard on the news that there was a, they raised the terror alert because of possible cyber attacks against various banks and financial firms. Security analysts yesterday cautioned against overblowing concerns related to those advisories. The advisory was prompted by concerns that a group calling itself Anahar al-Dalar planned to launch denial-of-service attacks against online stock trading and banking sites all through December. A spokeswoman with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security confirmed that they had sent out a situational awareness alert, and the alert was based on intelligence gathered by the Department of Homeland Security, she said, without offering details. Security analysts said that so far, at least, there's little suggest any attacks are imminent. They suggest the advisory was little more than a routine alert. We did see the bulletin board post that triggered all this. The overall tone of the bulletin board is that of kids exchanging hacker tips, things like software serial numbers, how to use common tools like VNC and such. Many of these messages are interspersed with anti-American and anti-Israel rhetoric. I don't see the threat as credible. Overall, banks have more sinister adversaries than these kids. The moral of the story is it is better to be safe than sorry. It is better to plan and tell people to protect themselves than not, but that this particular one may not be something we have to worry about a whole lot. Our next caller is Patty from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Patty. What's your question?
Hi. I really enjoy listening to you, and
thank
I
you.
Finally am taking your advice, and now I need help.
Okay.
I am running Windows XP, and I downloaded Firefox and Thunderbird, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the icons I have is Mozilla Firefox. I have two install flashes and a Thunderbird setup 1.5.0.8. When I go into Thunderbird, every time I get a start install.
Right. You downloaded the installer, which then installs a program in your start menu.
Yeah.
You go to the start menu to actually run the program. You keep clicking the installer again, so it thinks you want to install again.
Once you've installed the program, you can throw away the installer.
Right.
Okay.
Somewhere along the install, it usually asks you if you want to place a program icon on the desktop.
Yeah, and when you downloaded it, you downloaded it to your desktop. So it should create, if you go to start and you go to programs, you should see a folder there that says Thunderbird.
I see a thing that says Mozilla Firefox.
That's one of the two.
Yep. What about
and then I do not have a Thunderbird.
You must have not clicked on yes.
Yeah, you must not have finished the install for Thunderbird.
Right. Or not clicked on yes, installed or put an icon on the desktop. So if you go to start programs, you should find Thunderbird there as well.
That's where she says she's looking and she's not seeing it.
When I go into start, I don't see anything. But it sets it up again.
Right. You clearly installed Firefox correctly, and you can now throw away that installer.
Okay.
If you go to start programs Firefox and run it, you'll see that it comes up, and then you can throw away the installer. You need to finish the install for Thunderbird, and then you'll be able to do the same thing with that installer.
Okay, I do. When I go into all programs, I do see a Thunderbird.
That there, and if you go into that folder, you should see Thunderbird Mail or something. It's called
Mozilla Thunderbird, Mozilla No Extensions, Profile Manager, and ReadMe.
Right. Yeah. So Mozilla
Click on
Thunderbird.
Mozilla Thunderbird.
That is the mail program,
and that is the yeah.
So you can throw away the Thunderbird installer.
There you go.
That's on your desktop. It's a very confusing thing. We run into that same question on the Macs all the time. You download something from the internet, you get the downloader, then you have to decompress it, then you have to install it. So you end up with four or five things for the one thing you want.
But if the one thing she wants to do is put an icon on a desktop, within that folder she can quick right-click on it and say send to desktop as shortcut, and she'll be able to have a shortcut now on the desktop.
You're absolutely right. All right, we are going to take another quick break. And the mighty, mighty Glenn Lamberts is in to give you the news, the weather, the sports, all the important information. In the meantime, we'll be sitting around here napping until after the news. But on the other side of the news, we've got a lot more phone calls. We've got a lot more interesting stuff going on, including we'll talk a little bit about the Zoom player, what we do on our website, all kinds of interesting things. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. At 59 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. We're going to get back to the phone shortly, but first we are going to figure out what goes on at our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about Microsoft's automated validation system, the things that tells you you're a thief if you have stolen their product. 300 of you voted, making it number 148 on the all-time hit list, thanks to each and every one of you. And the winner, 49% of you say it really annoys me. 22% of you say it doesn't bother me at all. 11% said it doesn't bother me at all, I run Linux. 10% said it doesn't bother me at all, I run a Mac. And 28 of you were honest enough to say it doesn't bother me at all, I use cracked software. This week's poll is about the iPhone. Apple, we've heard rumors of the iPhone for about 100 years, give or take. And it's Apple's long-rumored cell phone, and it may have moved one step closer to reality. On November 30th, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the USPTO, published an application from Apple for the patent of a handheld computing device. It does not specifically mention the long-rumored iPhone, but it does hint that Apple appears to be moving forward with its plans for a cell phone that possibly includes some type of iTunes tie-in. Apple would be an idiot to not put iTunes on a cell phone, to produce a cell phone without iTunes.
They already have partnered with Motorola. The Rocker and the Sliver both have iTunes in them, currently sold by Singular.
Right.
But it's not an Apple brand phone.
Right,
it's
and Apple is asking...
Right, it's a phone with iTunes in it, and everyone's hoping that Apple's going to come out with an iPod with a phone in it.
Right, right. Essentially, Apple is asking for a patent for a portable computing device capable of wireless communications. And they, you know, there's where they put the antenna and blah, 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 blah. But it also includes a display and a touchpad. And we'll see what that means. Apple is planning a number of releases in 2007, including the launch of its new Mac operating system called Leopard and a new feature called iTV. So we'll see what all of that means, and we'll keep you apprised of what's going on.
ITV is the code name because there's already three or four products named ITV
with
a letter I and the N, and then EYE. And also iPhone with an I is already trademarked by somebody else. There's an internet phone company selling iPhone plans.
Right.
So we'll see how Apple handles the planning there.
And it's interesting that Apple's news has now focused on the iPod and its ilk, as opposed to any hot new computers. We don't even hear that much about Leopard. It's all about iStuff.
Well, all the Leopard news came out in August at the developer conference. So the Macworld Trade Show coming up in January is we're probably going to start hearing more about Leopard, possible releases of new computers. And Apple basically just has revised all of their computers in the last 4 or 5 months, so there may not be anything new coming in computer-wise for a while.
But what I'm saying is, in terms of hype and in terms of interest, it's all about the iPod.
iPod. Yeah.
And that's both good and bad, I guess. In one sense, I suppose it kind of makes Apple more of an MP3 player company than it does a computer company.
They split themselves last year, I think, into two physical entities under the Apple computer umbrella, computers and portable media devices.
Right. According to their Edgar filing, it's really the iPod stuff that's keeping them afloat right now, as opposed to the other computer stuff.
And there's a lot of interesting and sort of unfortunate backstory on that, too, is that the new Intel-based Macs require all of the Mac programmers to rewrite their software to take advantage of the Intel processor. And the Adobe Creative Suite, which is one of the mainstays of the Macintosh development community for creative publishing and printing and ads and everything, currently does not run natively on the Intel Macs. And they're forecasting second quarter 2007 to release the CS3. So we're seeing sort of a hesitation in the professional Mac market. They don't want to buy the new Intel Macs until their software comes out for Intel.
So it'll be an interesting quarter for Apple. In the meantime, our poll of the week is, would you buy an iPhone? And the choices are, I can't wait, I think I'll wait and see, and I don't think so. So far, approximately, I would have to say somewhere in the order of 85 of you have voted, with I don't think so leading the charge. I think I'll wait and see following with 21% of the vote. And five of you can't wait. When you're done with the poll, underneath it, you'll see a little yellow box. In there, you can click Give Us Your Opinion. That takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com. You ain't kidding, baby.
Especially in that teddy.
Thank you. Thank you. I have great games. Oh, it's true.
The thought of that was just clearing my mind.
Where you can actually leave an opinion, what would entice you to buy an iPhone and that sort of thing. But when you're done with that, finish taking a look around my website at AskNick.com. Those of you who are already members, I have to take one moment for a shameless plug and talk about the new search feature that we've got up there. If you are a member, when you log in, you will have access to the search tab, and you can search through the hundreds of thousands of tips and tricks and questions and answers and rants and raves and websites of the week and everything else that I've done and put up on my site and sent out in my newsletter. And you can search through there for answers to your questions, as well as asking about them in the forums and things like that. So I'm very excited that that's actually up and working. I'm still calling it a beta. Gabe wrote some great code, but I'm still calling it a beta until enough people have tested it to make it clear to me that it works perfectly. But that's what we do there.
Will you put that up for me on for the tips that I do off of our website on soundbites.org? You created that search engine, and a number of folks, excuse me, have said that it's been very helpful, because if they're looking for a particular tip that I've been doing for, what, over 2 years now, I think it is, it's been very helpful.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah, no, so it's working great.
Good.
We should also mention the forums online, places you can post questions.
Did I not mention them? I beg your pardon.
Well, because I'm leading into something. You ruined my segue. No.
Uh-oh. As long as it's not the other.
No.
Tutu.
You can post questions and post answers during the week when the show's not on the air. And we had a great response or question from a new member, Jilin, that we had talked last week about the SVC host process, and it's generic in Windows, and many programs call it, and a caller was getting a warning from their firewall that SVC host wanted access to the internet.
Right.
We weren't sure of a way to see all the sub-processes. Task lists will show you the high-level processes, but not all the sub-processes. And so this person posted in the forums that if you open a command prompt and do task list slash SVC, it will show you all of the sub-processes that SVC host is called.
Right.
And there is a program now from Microsoft called SysInternals Process Explorer that will show you all those sub-processes and who called them.
Right, and that's great, but it will not tell you which one specifically is begging to get out right now.
Right now, yeah. But it will tell you who's using them, so you can see if there is something unknown trying to access the internet from your system. So that's task list space forward slash SVC.
Excellent, thank you. That's why we love the people in our forums. They correct us when we're wrong. They correct us even when we're right. And they also give us new information on a regular basis. So I'm delighted to see that. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now. And we are going to talk to Dave.
Wait a minute. One caller just...
Dave.
They're tied. The top two are tied.
Yeah.
Wally from Honey High Falls. Welcome, Wally. I beg your pardon. Dave is supposed to keep track of the queue.
Yeah, no, the other caller that was there dropped.
Oh, hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Here's my situation. I know I want to go to Linux. Uh-huh. I know how to install it because I've used Mepis and Zandros and Core 3 when I was on a job. I used to do support IT support. But for my home computer, I have three other people who don't want to know anything about Linux. So I'm thinking probably Mepis might be a good idea, a good way to go because it's pretty Windows-centric. But the biggest question I have is I do a lot of work with Photoshop, Illustrator, Macromedia, and I know I can use VMware to make a virtual machine or a crossover Office, which would let them run as applications within Linux. Do you guys have any experience with using crossover Office and those higher-end graphics programs?
I have not. I know several people who have, and they work fine. I use the GIMP, which except for having, it does not have CMYK separation for final print release. Except for that, it does everything that I personally want to do in any of those programs.
My only thing is I don't, because it's my sideline and my home computer, I don't really have time to reinvent the wheel and learn.
Right,
I mean, I've been using Photoshop and all these programs for a long, long time.
Right.
And I know that if I didn't have anything, they'd be great, but I have all the programs. So my question for you is, well, you answered that as far as if people can have run it, but what about, do you think Mepis would be a good way to go?
I like Mepis. I've heard good things about PC Linux OS. I've heard good things about FreeSpire. One of the products that I like the most is Ubuntu.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that version 6.06 is LTS, long-term support. They are going to support that for 5 years on the desktop.
Okay.
So for 5 years, you won't have to worry about upgrading or doing anything. They'll keep supporting it and bringing out all the fixes and everything else for it so that it will continue to run perfectly well for all of that time.
Okay. The final part of the question is one of my sons plays first-person shooter games like Counter-Strike, which uses Steam. Do you know if there's a Linux version available, or would that be able to run either in a VMware machine or under a crossover Office?
I don't know that it's available as a native thing, but I do know that people have had great success running it under Wine, W-I-N-E, which stands for Wine is not an emulator. And you can get the binary. Well, the binaries, I believe, already exist. Let me just check here.
There's a Wine project coming out for the Mac, too, using the Unix that the Mac is based on.
Right. There is. Wine is already built into or downloadable inside of Ubuntu. So you would be able to just load that and go. So it looks like you can do everything you want to do without a problem. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham. I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Is this great or what? This is great music.
Who was singing that?
Ellen Louie.
No.
Wait, all right, I wasn't listening.
Been hoping that you
Who is it?
Newfangled. You got to recognize the female voice at least.
My thunder will start to work.
not
this is Dolly Parton.
It is not. Yeah. Now there it is. There it starts.
Yeah, I thought it was Carol Channing.
This thing distorts everything. Who's the guy?
Sting, maybe? I don't know.
All right, it's Name That
Tune. No, excuse me, Rod Stewart. Oh, Rod Stewart and Dolly Parton.
Not through this headset. It wasn't either one of them. It was nobody. I couldn't tell anybody.
That's worse than imagining.
All right,
Nick
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Unrich.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Name That Tune on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. The Zune Player. We've already talked about the iPod. It's time to talk about the Zune. The Zune, as we all know, is Microsoft's iPod killer. The reality is that it should give very little reason for iPod loyalists and Apple Computer to fear this holiday season. Since its retail debut on November 15th, customer interest in Zune has been, shall we say, lackluster.
Eh.
Only, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Only 8% of 40 retailers surveyed, according to a research publication on Tuesday, recommend the Zune to customers, while 75% of them recommend the iPod. Some of the salespeople hadn't even heard of the Zune, even though the players are being sold at their stores. Quotes from the retail clerks range from them claiming they don't know what the Zune is to comments that the Zune is a good option if a customer does not use Apple's iTunes software, which is, of course, true. Zune also did not fare well against other MP3 players and Apple's iPod, even during its initial week of sales, when the hype surrounding the product was at its peak. During its launch week, Zune held the 7th spot on Amazon's top-selling MP3 players list and fell from that spot to number 13 only 5 days after the launch. The buzz that Microsoft was able to generate for the Zune's launch clearly helped the player in its first week, but much of that publicity took the form of Zune iPod comparisons, and the Zune failed to match up in the eyes of most reviewers to the iPod, a fact that negatively affected sales.
Again, Gates just trying to be all to
well,
all.
And most of the Zune commercials don't even say anything about the Zune. It's the community.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Well, who knows what the product
well,
is?
Well, but here's the part of the problem with that. You get, if I want to, it's a very cool feature, my ability to share a song I like with you. I can, if we've both got Zunes, I can beam it over to you. You can only play it 3 times within 3 days, and then you have to either buy it or delete it.
Or it deletes itself.
And it's just, it's more DRM, just like the iPod has. I like my little SanDisk MP3 player that I can put whatever music I want on it without having to translate it into another format.
But you can't buy music from any of the stores.
I don't.
From the online stores.
Yeah, I just buy the CDs that I want. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering and a little worried that maybe the iPod name has become so ubiquitous, someone walks in to a store, I want to buy an iPod, and they get pointed to whatever's on sale that week, not the iPod brand.
That's possible. Or when you go, they certainly have brand recognition. I mean, yeah. if you do any sort of report saying name an MP3 player.
With the advertising right. they've done.
Right. So that's something. Anyway.
The one thing that was annoying about the Zune when I was playing with it is it looks like it's got the iPod wheel on it. But it's not a wheel, it's a 5-button rocker switch.
Right.
And if you've got a long playlist, that was one of the reasons they came out with the wheel. If you're trying to scroll through 1,000 songs, you can spin the wheel really fast.
If you've got 1,000 songs in your playlist, you've got so much time on your hands, it does not matter.
I've got 5,000 in mine.
Not in the same playlist.
Well, when I go to my all list.
Why would you go there?
I don't know, because you know, randomly pick
you can.
Them all.
That's
can,
the only
yeah.
reason you go there.
Right. So on the Zune, you got to push the buttons that many times, or you got to push and hold it that many times.
Or you create a playlist so you don't have to push the button at all. Right. Our next caller is Tom from Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show again today.
Thank you.
Hey, I do the security tango. I dance the tango. And just about a week or so ago, I know I made a cardinal sin. I downloaded the Internet Explorer 7.0 update.
Yep.
After downloading it, I began to get a lot of pop-up ads. So
Yeah.
I went in and I ran AdAware again, and now I get about 30 seconds into running it, and all of a sudden the computer just goes into a spontaneous reboot.
Tell you what, here's the easiest way to help you out.
Yep.
Go to Ad Remove Programs.
Well,
go down to the bottom of it and uninstall Internet Explorer 7.0. And I guarantee you, 99% of your problems will go away.
Well, but
and you still use Firefox.
You've still got something that's killing AdAware. It's time to dance the tango again.
Yeah.
No,
that's first thing.
No, I'll guarantee you, 99%.
AdAware, IE7 doesn't kill AdAware.
The newer update to the IE does.
Really?
I've run into three other computers that it conflicts with it, and it just sends it into bonkers. I mean, it just goes totally bonkers.
Well, this is good news, and I have no problem.
IE7 must be full of spyware.
No, some of the other patches that they've done to it, because there is another .dot version with the current download, yes, it winds up throwing adware and spybot. Matter of fact, we had a problem with spybot that client had IE7 on it, that it wasn't doing the updates. I uninstalled IE7.0, rebooted the machine. Now, the original version of adware and spybot ran fantastic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Give that a shot, Tom.
Thank you.
Our next caller, Peter on a cell phone. Welcome, Peter. What's your question?
Hi. I just had Roadrunner installed yesterday.
Congratulations.
I haven't had a chance to even use it yet, and I want to get it all set up to the way I like it. I'm running XP on my machine, and I was wondering if you had any other suggestions as to what maybe I should download or who I should even use as a mail. My primary mail company.
Well, Roadrunner has their own mail system, and it is a good one.
Right.
So that's not a problem.
Do you have other computers that are on the network, or just this is one computer?
No, it's just my home computer.
Then I would definitely recommend using Zone Alarm.
Yep.
Zone Alarm?
And Firewall.
Yeah, it's a firewall.
Firewall.
Right. Right. I have the Windows firewall that's on
no,
there.
Yeah, I would use Zone
use
Alarm.
Use Zone Alarm.
Yeah, is it a free one?
Yep.
And first thing you want to do before you do much of anything else is head on over to the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
Oh, yeah, and update everything.
Update everything. One of the things that we have there is a pointer to Zone Alarm.
And Firefox and Thunderbird.
And Firefox and Thunderbird, which you should be using for your web browser and email.
I also might suggest getting a network router, even though you don't need to share the internet with multiple computers, the network router will give you a hard firewall in line and create a private network for that computer, which will be less susceptible then to attacks from the internet.
A router. Okay. I can put that on my list.
There you go.
Thunderbird is...
The email program.
Okay.
And the folks at Roadrunner can help you set that up.
Actually, I don't think they do. They only support... Yeah, Internet Explorer and Outlook Express.
Really? Because I called once.
But it depends on how nice a guy you get.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, they only support. True. Doesn't mean it won't work, but they may not answer your questions.
And use Firefox as a browser.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's another free download
I get. Yeah,
we try to recommend free products as much as possible because we're cheap ourselves. That's
me too.
Right. Really how that
and
goes.
And they're much safer than Internet Explorer and Outlook Express.
Right.
And don't let the nasty things through that IE and OE, OE do. IE and OE do.
IE and OE do.
EIEIO.
So start there, Peter. I think you're on your way to a safer computing environment. And you'll certainly much prefer the speed that that you'll get out of that. All right, our next caller is Glennie from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Glennie. What's your question?
I had a similar question. By luck, I put recently on both IE Internet Explorer 7 and I put on Norton, and both of them are giving me fits.
Get rid of both.
Fits. And so I'm sorry. It sounds like I'm repeating what you
No,
you
that's
just
fine.
Said last caller. But I needed a way to get out of this.
Yeah, like I say, the easiest way is to go into the add remove programs and get rid of both of those. Yeah, I mean, you say you're repeating, but it just kind of proves to the other folks listening that what we're saying is true and that it causes a lot of issues. It's only more support to it. So if you go into add remove programs, you
click the start button. Go to Control Panel, and that takes you to Add Remove Programs. Yes,
and just uninstall both of them.
Yes, sir.
And then go to AVG, and then if you want Firewall, there's Zone Alarm, and the Firefox and Thunderbird.
You said go to AVG?
Yeah, what you want to do is head over to the securitytango.com.
Okay.
Again, click that Let's Dance button, print out the page, and follow it top to bottom. Checking it off as you go, that means by the time you're done, you'll have cleaned your system of all the viruses and spyware. You'll have installed AVG and
Spybot and Adware.
Spybot and Adware and Zone Alarm, and you'll be well on your way. The other thing you want to do is you want to add Firefox and Thunderbird, and then you're on your way to a clean environment.
Thank you very much.
Good luck and enjoy yourself. I love people who see the light.
Yep.
I have seen the light. Our next caller is Marty. Slowly we turn to Honey Eye Falls. How are you? Or Niagara Falls, I mean.
Niagara Falls. I thought I moved.
Wait a minute.
Going along with all the talk this morning, I've got the free version of AVG
right
on my computer, and when I load up, it says your free version is expiring.
Have you gone to 7.5?
Well, right, there's a major release version. 7.5 came out, and they've stopped releasing updates for 7.1.
Okay.
So the rest of that message is click here to download 7.5.
All right. Well, it says that, but I thought maybe that was like a pay version. Then.
No, it's another freebie.
No, what they're saying is the old version doesn't fix everything, so they're dumping it. You better go to the new version.
Oh, okay. Well, yep. that explains that.
Yes, it does.
I appreciate that. Also, just the word I got, I bought me a brand new iMac and enjoying it. It's just kind of hard to learn.
Well, it's as we always say, it's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive, you just don't know where the controls are.
Yeah, well, somebody put the controls on this backwards.
Yeah!
Well, actually, Microsoft did that. When they created Windows, they put all the controls backwards from what Mac already had.
So many of us who move to a Mac have a lot of trouble at first because we have to relearn things. What you might want to do is get yourself a regular 3-button mouse. Instead of that 1-button mouse that comes with the Mac.
Mac comes with a 5-button mouse now.
Well, the one I
for about
got
6
is,
bucks.
The one I got is 1-button.
It has the 5-button with the wheel and all that.
Yeah, they've replaced all their mice with the new Mighty Mouse that has the scroll ball on it, not just a wheel, so you can scroll diagonally.
Yeah, the little ball.
Plus the left button, the right button, and the side buttons.
Well, how come I got the old one then?
You bought your computer too long ago.
See, it's the story of my life. It does take a while to get used to, and eventually you become ambi operating system.
There are a couple of books you can get. There's Switcher's Guide, they call them, that give you the Mac terminology for the Windows terms you're familiar with. You know, HFS instead of FAT32,
we bought the Apple ProCare. We've been doing the classes at the Apple Store, and those are really worth it.
I have to say when Windows was first introduced. We went to a seminar that Microsoft had put on for programmers to teach you how to program the Windows way.
Because it was so different.
Yeah. Because it was so different. And we sat there, this other guy and I, who were both Mac programmers, and every time they talked about a function, all we wrote down was their function equals whatever the equivalent Mac function was, and reverse the parameters. And it was exactly the same. It was just a different name, and the parameters were backwards.
And it was the OOPSLA, object-oriented programming, that you've already been using on the Mac.
Right. So it isn't all that much different.
Well, we're enjoying it.
I'm glad you are. Enjoy yourself, Marty.
Thank you.
Our next caller is John from Penfield, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
My question is, I'm on Roadrunner here in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
My father-in-law is on Roadrunner in Syracuse, and he just got a new computer and is very much a novice. I was looking for ways that I could support him or help him out with basic questions even from here. Is there anything that would allow me to connect remotely from one Roadrunner system to another?
Well, you can use the basic instant messaging programs just to send messages back and forth. But
if he wants to take control,
I'd like to take
PC Anywhere
and see what I'm doing.
Right. There are remote control programs. PC Anywhere is one of the big ones. There's one built into to Windows, though, called RDC, Remote Desktop Connection.
Okay.
It's somewhere, where is it? In the Windows setup, there's an allow. In the control panel, there's allow remote connections. And then then you download the RDC client at your end, and you can actually take physical control of the mouse at the other end.
Okay.
And that download is available. We can put the link on our website, and that lets you then connect to him. What's nice about that is when someone tries to connect, he will get a pop-up menu that says, so-and-so is trying to take over your machine. Do you want to allow that? And what you have to teach him is, if you're not on the phone with him at that moment saying, Dad, I'm going to take over your machine, click yes, that he should then click no.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. If I do have control of his PC, can he see the mouse moving?
Yes.
And it freaks a lot of people out when the mouse moves on its own.
So
a lot of tech support people use this.
Can see.
What?
Kind of like a built-in version of VNC.
Yes, it is, man. In fact, it is it is exactly the same thing, really.
Yeah, exactly. Just a different name.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
All I would need to connect is his IP address, or...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so you need his IP address.
If he's got a firewall, you're going to have to open up a port.
Yeah, that's another issue. And to find out what your public IP address, I don't know if we should tell people. No. To find out what your public IP address at any given moment, you can open a web browser and type whatismyip.com.
.com. All right, we're going to take another break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and me.
Can't get your name anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and I clearly need my drugs, so we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Before we get back to the phones, I simply have to say... This is a great news story. Apple plugs the airport hole that everybody's been telling me does not exist. Apple Computer has fixed a number of flaws in the software that ships with its personal computers, including a bug in its airport wireless drivers that was disclosed earlier in November. The airport flaw was disclosed on November 1st. It affects the Proxim Orinoco wireless cards used by the PowerBooks and the iMac computers built between 1999 and 2003. These cards, which were branded airport by Apple, shipped with Emacs, iBooks, iMacs, PowerBook G3s, PowerBook G4s, and PowerMac G4 systems. The issue does not affect systems that use the airport Extreme cards. This flaw could be used by an attacker to run unauthorized software on a victim's computer. Apple's update, which happened last Tuesday, I downloaded it. It was fine. Also fixes several issues with products that ship with OS X, including flaws in the Clam AV antivirus software, Perl PHP Hypertext preprocessor, and Samba. In total, 22 patches were released in this update. Wait, isn't this the same flaw that every time I mentioned it, I got hate mail from the Apple fanboys telling me there was no flaw, there never would be a flaw, and I should die in a fire? Is that the one? Shove it, fanboys!
It's a different flaw.
No, it's the same flaw!
It's a different flaw that does the same thing.
Same thing, just different name.
Okay. All right. Now I feel better now. I feel vindicated now. Our next caller is Amy, patiently waiting around on her cell phone. Welcome, Amy. What's your question?
Yesterday, I got fed up with McAfee and decided to download the professional version of ABG.
Yes.
Because I don't want to do anything. I don't want to think about anything.
You sure?
Now the firewall keeps on giving me this message saying that live update from Symantec needs permission.
Yes.
And is there any reason that I still need live update from Symantec?
No.
Or can I delete that altogether?
Well,
if you've got AVG, you don't need the Symantec products anymore.
Right.
Okay.
And you downloaded, you got the McAfee firewall, not the McAfee antivirus?
Yeah, what's your firewall?
It's through AVG.
Yeah.
Right.
So what McAfee product do you have?
I deleted all, I removed all of that last night.
Okay. But somehow you still,
you still got something from Symantec in there.
When I go to the control panel, it shows up there.
Yeah.
The live update.
Yeah, you should first you can tell it, no, I don't ever want to see another, not only don't let it go through, but tell it, don't ever even tell me again. Don't even ever ask me again. But
you should
go through your ad remove programs, and anything that says Symantec should be deleted
as well.
Well,
that's the problem, because live update doesn't necessarily say Symantec. You have to know that it's from Symantec.
Well, it says live update Symantec.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah.
Right, but in her case, you're saying it's a live update from Symantec, right?
Yeah, it says it's from Symantec. I just assumed that when I removed everything that was McAfee, when I did the uninstall, it would take everything. But
it did, except that Symantec and McAfee are two different companies, and they're two different sets of products.
Oh, okay.
So what likely happened was, at some point, say when you first bought your computer, it came with a 90-day free trial of the Symantec Norton product.
Well, I did have Norton before, and I had problems with them, too. So hopefully,
so when you removed it,
will not disappoint me.
Right.
Yep.
But when you removed it, somehow it left behind this live update from Symantec. So go through your list.
There's three or four different Symantec pieces you have to remove separately. You can't.
Right.
There's no one uninstall.
Right. So go through ad remove programs and look for all those Symantec pieces and delete them with extreme prejudice. Okie doke?
Yeah, it's called live update And then usually in brackets, it says Symantecs Corporation on our ad remove program. So it'll be scrolling down alphabetically. There'll be a live update.
Look at each and everything to see if it says Symantecs somewhere in it. Well, Amy's certainly gone through a plethora of antivirus and firewall products. That's good to know. And she's lit on AVG, which I also agree is spectacular. Our next caller is Kevin from Greece, New York. Welcome, Kevin. What's your question?
Yes, I wanted to know about, I have XP right now, and I want to play around with Linux. And I was wondering, can you load to have two operating systems on the same computer?
Absolutely.
And how do you set that
Here's
up?
Here's how you do it.
The easiest way.
The easiest way to do it is you install Windows first, but in the setup, you tell it you only want it to take up half of your drive.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say the easiest way is a separate hard drive.
No, this is easy. Installing Windows is the hard part because they just want you to click the buttons and go through it. If you read it carefully, one of the parts will be manually partitioned. And you then tell it you only want it to use half the hard drive. And you install Windows completely.
Okay.
Then it depends on which version of Linux you're running. Again, there are a bunch of good ones out there. The one I like the best is Ubuntu.
Right,
when you go to install Ubuntu, it will come up and say, oh, you've got another operating system on this hard drive. Do you want to A, erase it, or B, use the remaining space for Ubuntu? And you say B. And then it will install it, and it will also install a boot menu. So when it comes up, you'll have a choice of Windows or Ubuntu, and you just pick whichever one you want. And we're going to take now a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 49 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Bob WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour in high definition radio.
You know, isn't it fun to look out the window here in downtown Rochester and just watch various things and various people and
It's the thing I enjoy interesting. Most.
Are they trying to break into that cash box
Remember the one
again?
Day that guy was trying to break into the change machine out there with a twig?
Oh, he was making a science out of it. Going around, going sit. Go over, check it out, go back, sit down for a little bit, think about it, go back to it, grab a stick, try to work on it a little bit, go back, sit down.
And then he got so mad he started beating it with his fist.
Yeah, which I'm sure worked well, the metal box against
his
fist.
Listen, I forgot to tell you, Nick.
Uh-oh.
Remember how we were talking a couple weeks ago about how you were Santa Claus in Midtown Plaza?
What years? Did you find it?
What years were you Santa Claus?
Oh, I don't remember. I'd have to think
Well, I went
back.
Looking through the photo albums, and I couldn't tell. Because of the beard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bring him in. Maybe I can.
Well, yeah. You were on Magic Mountain, right?
Yeah.
Back when they had the mountain.
I was on
there.
The Magic Mountain.
Back when they had the mountain. And I think, I'm not sure. I'll have to bring it in and show you, but I think I found one where I was actually sitting on your lap.
It's very possible.
Yeah,
by the way, I was not Santa Claus. I was Santa's helper. Santa was still at the North Pole making all the toys.
Then why'd you have me sit on your lap then?
I was Santa's helper. Santa needs to spend the time with the toys, and he has his helpers at the places like the Magic Mountain.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right.
And I was helping him out, and that's what I was doing. And I have to tell you, as we all know, Microsoft's Vista will have certain anti-piracy features because we are all dirty, rotten thieves, and Microsoft knows that. Computer World magazine has done... took a poll of its people to see how they feel about this. Not shockingly, they are, what's the word I'm looking for, really porked off. What happens is when Microsoft's Vista will have its Windows product activation program, the Windows Genuine Advantage, and the software protection platform. What happens is if Vista decides you are not a legitimate user, it will warn you a couple of times, and then we'll start running in reduced functionality mode. The problem with that is Windows seems to be really kind of arbitrary on what it decides is a legitimate or not legitimate user. For example, let's say you replace your motherboard, you're no longer a legal user. Or you replace a hard drive, you're no longer a legal user. One of the people in this poll replaced a modem, and it was decided that she was no longer a legal user.
We've run into that already with with XP and Office 2003 and later, that all these product activation keys, you have to rebuild someone's PC. It takes another 2 hours on the phone reactivating the software. Yep.
And shockingly, and I don't understand this at all, but shockingly, apparently, people are angered at being called thieves.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when they're not.
And they get a legitimate sticker on the side of the machine.
Yeah, that's the problem. They have that legitimate sticker on the side. Well, you remember, two, 3 years ago, there was a huge government sting in China. And they cracked down on pirate Windows boxes that were making.
Right.
They were making real boxes with fake legitimate serial number keys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the Chinese government seized tens of thousands of boxes of Windows and kept them.
Yeah, right.
They didn't return them to Microsoft.
Right, they just used them themselves.
They used them themselves, yeah.
And we don't have a whole lot of treaties with China, so it's not likely that anybody's going to care one way or the other. But that's just one of the ways that Microsoft is porking. You know what? I'm kind of fascinated. I have to say, this week I renewed my respect for Bill Gates. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, please.
Here's a guy who took a company that really from nowhere, mm-hmm. and through whether it's what you consider legitimate, illegitimate means whatever, made it a multi-gazillion dollar company.
College
made
dropout.
Made himself a multi-billionaire. Yeah. And now, just at the point where I personally believe Microsoft's heading down off the top of the slope and is starting that long, slow slide into just another company,
he's
leaving.
Yeah, he's bailing.
He knows when to get out. He knows what
he's
to do and when to get
billions.
Out.
He's made his billions.
He's made his billions. Now his wife has convinced him to give some of it away to increase his cred with the other side of the world. And so he's getting out and leaving poor Steve Ballmer holding the bag, standing there dancing like the little Ballmer ape that he is and desperately trying to get people enthused about Vista.
Yep. And like we were just talking off air, he's going to have a hard time. This is going to be a hard road to toe because it's costing so much, and companies in this economic times can't afford it.
I know, and that's why I think a lot of people are looking at Macs, and a lot of people are looking at the machines they've already got, and now they're asking, just like these folks did today, can I run Linux on this thing? Can I learn enough about this to be productive in it? I use my Linux box all day long. The only thing I use my Mac for really is multimedia because I'm running 64-bit Linux, and there are a lot of things that just aren't out yet, you know, and so that's a problem. But everything else I run on my Linux box without a problem. Listen, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get next week. Remember, call early, call often. Please visit us on our website. Please visit my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, I'm Nick Francesco with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.